You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
I'm all giddy about this podcast, Newsmakers. We have a handful of pitchers on the show. Rockies manager Bud Black, Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer, and former great Tommy John. I'm with a pitcher, I consider him a complete pitcher. He's not only has a great work ethic, it's guaranteed that he will go deep in the game. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if he even pitched a no-hitter. That's how good he is. And I'm talking about Max Scherzer. Max, thank you so much for being with me.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
And Max, before we even talk baseball, I just have to ask you, how was the scuba diving trip? I know you're big into that. Please talk about that.
Yeah, it was great. We got the scuba dive with all my friends down in the British Virgin Islands, and got to do some cool shipwrecks. So getting to see some underwater vessels that have been sunken. So it's just another thing about scuba diving that you love. I mean, fish are great, but so are wrecks as well.
You were scuba diving. You were on your scuba diving trip when you got word that you were the Cy Young. Tell me the feeling that was. You had Skype, and then you had some champagne thrown on you. Tell me what the feeling was.
Just so happy. And really, my friends, I think, were happier. My wife, she knew that the announcement was going to be during a vacation, knows that if you give one of our friends champagne, the rest of them want champagne. And so when my name got announced, I think all of them unleashed their bottles right onto me. So it was a wonderful celebration.
And I got to ask you this, Max. Tell me who you were thinking of when you won your second Cy Young. Who was the first person you thought of?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, there's just so many people. It's hard just to narrow it down to one, just because to be able to put myself in that position to be able to win a second one, I've had to accomplish so much, and just everybody along the way. You go back to, all the way back to high school, coaches that have influenced you, to college, to minor league ball, to pro ball, to guys in the majors who have made a difference, and all the hard work that's gone into it to have this all come into one. And I mean, this recognition really does mean something to me, because it's such a prestigious award, and for the voters who have chosen me again for the second time, it means the world to me, because like Lester and Hendricks, they had unbelievable years, and if they had chosen them, they definitely were deserving to win it as well. So I really give thanks to everybody around me that has allowed me to keep going at this as long and as hard as I can.
Max, I know it's early, and I know you always tell me you want to do better than you did the last time. Mm-hmm. Now, you won two Cy Youngs. Last year was just awesome. What do you want to do better than you did last year?
I think a lot of times, I want to be better in 2017 than I was in 2016. Everybody sits there and runs right to the results and thinks, how are you going to, you want to say, how are you going to be better? I don't necessarily look at it in terms of that. I don't get caught up in the results. I focus on the process of how I attack hitters, certain things that, are in my DNA of how I believe I can get guys out consistently. And a lot of times that's fine-tuning pitches and fine-tuning locations to help make me a better pitcher and make me more consistent. And so I definitely think there's holes in my game that I can shore up. It's so hard to have consistency at the major league level. So what I'm talking about is not easy, and talk is cheap. And so for me to go out there and try to be even more consistent in 2017, I'm really going to have to put my nose to the ground and really iron some things out.
Max, you have the greatest work ethic I've ever seen. I've covered this baseball league for like 15 years, and I've never seen a guy like you. It's like, when you're on that mound, you're in another world. And I like to know, who taught you that work ethic? It's like nonstop. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you saying those kind words. I really feel like it's just a culmination of who I am and all the coaches I've been with that brought me up in my formative years. Even back in middle school, different coaches playing all the different sports, playing football and basketball. I think those two sports also, they have a different type of atmosphere and competitiveness to them that I think helped, when I was a teenager, helped, form me into a competitive athlete, not just on the baseball field, but in other sports as well. And I feel like I've been able to translate that and bring things like that to keep developing so that when I did become a pro pitcher, I still feel like there's residue of certain things from a basketball standpoint that still stick with me.
Max, I got to ask you, what advice would you give to kids? You're always healthy. You're always in shape. What do you give to kids when it comes to staying in shape, making sure they don't have arm injuries and stuff like that? What do you do?
Well, I mean, that's a kind of a twofold question the way I take it. First off, that to a kid that I would like to say is that, look, you can get better every single day. It's a choice. Everybody wants to sit here and kind of, hey, I want to be better at this, but they don't go out there and every single day to choose to get better. If you choose to go get better and just put one little goal in front of yourself, you can attain that. And then you just keep putting little goals in front of yourself to keep attaining those instead of trying to tackle one big goal at itself. I think that's something that I've been able to compartmentalize little things, and that helps me, instead of looking at the big picture, just stay within the small picture and find ways to get better. As for health, man, I really believe it's just a culmination of everything. You have to work hard. You have to take care of your body, but you have to listen to your arm. And you have to also know that, it's okay to push your arm and throw all the pitches and throw different curveballs and this and that. But once your arm gets taxed, you have to know that's it, that's enough, and I need to fully rest it. I think that's one thing that as kids that I think we've seen growing up and guys who I've played with, that a lot of times how they get hurt is, they come back too early. They haven't gotten fully rested to be able to make their next start or go out there and throw, another inning or so. And so as long as you listen to your arm and push it, that's great. But more importantly, when it's had enough, you need to give it its rest. And I think that's something that's very important for young kids to hear.
I can't leave here without asking about the Nationals. What do you guys have to do to go all the way next year, you think?
Just fine. We had a great season last year, and they had a great ball club. We just got to continue to keep doing this. The playoffs are a tricky thing. I've been a part of it now, I think, five or six times. And, it's a crapshoot. There's always this little play that happens, and that's why you have to pay attention to all these little details that happen within the game, because when you get in the postseason, just one little detail, one little pitch, one little out, one little play can make the difference in a series. And so that's something we just need to focus on as a team and just get better at, because the talent's there. We have a core. We have the talent to be able to compete with anybody in the league. I'm not sitting here saying we're going to win it all, but I know we're good enough to be able to compete with anybody. And as long as we go out there and keep striving to do our best, good things will happen in D.C.
Final question, Max. I know that you're involved with the CBA. I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. Do you think a deal will get done?
That's a tricky question. You have to understand that there's motives both on each side, and we're trying to negotiate a fair deal. As players, we're looking for a 50-50 handshake, that whatever negotiations are going on, we want to make sure that, the owners have their fair shake and that we have our fair shake, and that we're not going to come up short of that 50-50 number. Until we feel like we have a fair deal, we're going to keep negotiating, and hopefully, MLB sees it the same way.
Max Scherzer, thank you so much for being with me, and I got to tell you, kids out there, watch this guy, because he is the perfect pitcher. There's no question about it. Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm with one of the best managers in baseball. I'm talking about Bud Black. Bud, thank you so much for being with me. But I look at your roster on the Rockies, and it is awesome. And it's led by Trevor Story, Cargo, and Nolan Arenado. And you never had an offense like that in San Diego. Tell me how you feel having an offense like you have right now.
Well, Bill, you're right. I think that you look at the position player group, those names you just mentioned, Carlos Gonzalez, Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, DJ LeMahieu, young Trevor Story. There's some good young players coming as well. David Dahl, Tom Murphy behind the plate. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good position player group. We feel good about that, both, in the field defensively and at the plate. Where we have to make strides, obviously, is on the mound. We have to pitch better than, you know, where the Rockies were at last year on the mound. And, you know, hopefully this is a new year. We got some young developing pitchers in John Gray, Hoffman, Marquez to go along with Bettis and Chatwood, and we have to do some things in the pen. But the overall group, we feel as though we're getting closer to, you know, being able to track down the Giants and the Dodgers and keep fending off the Diamondbacks and Padres in our division.
Now, you're the pitching guru. Everyone knows you're one of the best, not only manager, but a pitching coach as well. What do you want to see differently from the Rockies compared to last year? What was the biggest complaint from the front office when you talked to them?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that, I mean, if you're just going to look at statistics, you know, I would think the base on balls are a little bit too high for a team that needs to contend. So that's number one, you know, our strike throwing ability. And within that, we have to get the ball in better spots within the strike zone. So, I mean, that's priority number one. If you were just to look down the roster of the, you know, the walks to innings pitch ratio of our group, little bit, you know, those ratios aren't great. You look at the teams that win, you know, the Dodgers, the Nationals, the Cubs, you know, the Mets, the playoff teams, you know, their walks to innings pitched ratios are pretty good. So that's where we got to get. And also, I think in that regard, we need to develop the younger guys at a fairly quicker pace just to catch them up to speed with the position players. So John Gray, you know, Marquez, Hoffman, you know, some of these younger kids are going to be thrown into the fire. You know, we got to get them going to really realize our potential and their potential.
Bud, you were not in the game last year, but my question to you is, what did you learn about yourself? You were not in the managers. Let's be accurate here. You were not in the managers. Dugout last year. I want to know, what did you learn about yourself while you were working for the Angels, and what will you do differently as a manager? You managed the Padres. You did a great job there, even though you didn't have the hitting. I'd just like to know, what are you going to do differently?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, even though I wasn't in the dugout, I was, you know, in the game with the Angels, and you know, very much a part of, you know, our game, you know, just from a, you know, maybe not out of the, not in the limelight as a major league manager, but I had a, you know, a great relationship with Billy Epler, the new GM who came from the Yankees. It was his first year in Anaheim, mm-hmm. You know, continued my relationship, obviously, with Mike Socha and the Angel coaches, who were great to me as far as, you know, my involvement on a daily basis with the major league team when I was around. But, you know, the front office work with Billy and his guys, I think will be invaluable for me, again, as I get back in the dugout. You know, just, you know, reaffirming, you know, the importance of working together as a group, and the front office to ownership, to the field staff, to player development, to scouting, how everybody is really integral in doing their part to form a championship culture. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that I'm, you know, going to really focus on, is that involvement, that inclusiveness of everybody from ownership through, you know, the front office staff and down into player development, you know, what that means to bring out the best in our organization. So it takes everybody, you know, going in one direction. And I think, not that I didn't know that in San Diego, you know, I did, but I'm going to really, you know, make that a point of our major league staff this season.
Right. I got to tell you, you work for the Angels, as we mentioned, and would you like to work in the front office one day, or you belong in the dugout?
Well, you know, Bill, you know, way back when I was a player, towards the end of my career, I was fortunate enough to get great advice from a lot of mentors as I was transitioning from player to life after being a player. John Hart, Mark Shapiro, Dan O'Dowd were all very instrumental, you know, in my growth from, you know, from from player to retired player. You know, Bill Stoneman when I got to Anaheim. Roger Craig my last couple years in San Francisco. Dusty Baker, you know, my last manager in San Francisco. All these fellows were very instrumental in helping shape what I was going to become after being a player. And I felt as though at that point, initially, I didn't know which direction I was going to go, whether on the field or in the front office. But ultimately, I thought my best spot was to be on the field. And I think that is probably my best spot still presently. And I got fortunate to, you know, to land this job in Colorado. That's not to say that at some point, you know, a front office, you know, position, you know, might become attractive. But you never know what the future is going to hold for any of us in this game. But I think my best role now is on the field, you know, managing, coaching, teaching our players, being in uniform, in that role. Right. Now, you know, years from now, hopefully many years from now, you know, if things change and, you know, it's time to move on into a front office capacity, at least I'll be fairly equipped in some capacity to take on that challenge.
But I'm not just saying this, but I believe if you get some pitching, especially from the bullpen, I think the Rockies can compete as far as winning that National League West title. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm not, you know, Bill, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I like our team, and I know that from the other side, watching this group of players grow, meaning the Arenados, the Blackmans, you know, I saw them as rookies, you know, shine and then continue to get better. I've seen Carlos Gonzalez now for, you know, going on, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, you know, he's a solid major league player still, you know, at 31 years old, has a lot of years left as a good player. And DJ LeMahieu and Story, the guys we talked about earlier, these are good players. I like the starting pitching group of, you know, the talent those guys have. But you're right, the bullpen has to, you know, has to make some strides. It's going to be helped by getting Adam Ottaviano back in there, coming back from Tommy John. Mm-hmm. He should be ready to go for a full season. He came back last September and had a very good end of the season statistically and stuff wise with his velocity and his secondary pitches. We need Jake McGee to bounce back from from his standard, sort of a tougher year. You know, get back to that level of performance that you know everybody saw down in Tampa. There's some young pitchers who have a chance to break through to help our pen. Chad Qualls and Jason Mott have to bounce back after tough seasons for them physically last year. They didn't pitch as much as obviously they would like due to injury. So you know things are pointing up in the bullpen if guys get back to where they can be. And a lot of those and the reasons for that were physical. You know the injury component. So. Again, you know, that's why we play. You know, that's why you play a season to see how these things play out. But, you know, if you look at our group, we feel pretty good about it. And it's nice to hear that nationally, you know, people are talking about the Rockies, as they should, because we feel as though, you know, we're getting real close to, you know, to being those one of those teams that is talked about, you know, on a daily basis in our sport.
Bud Black, thank you so much for being with me. I think it's going to be a great year for you and the Rockies, and good luck to you.
Bill, I appreciate it. I look forward to crossing paths with you here in the near future and during the 2017 season.
Thank you so much. I want to know why this guy is not in the Hall of Fame. 288 wins, 3.34 ERA, and he was a 20-game winner 3 times, and that came after he had Tommy John surgery. I mean, this is baffling to me. And right now I have one of the best pitchers I ever saw, Tommy John. Tommy, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
My first question is the obvious one. How come you're not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, friends of mine who voted back, you know, when I was eligible for those 15 years, they said I wasn't a dominant pitcher. And I disputed their statement because I said, so you're saying only strikeouts and low hits mean a guy is worthy of being in the Hall of Fame? And I said, you know, I was not a strikeout pitcher. I couldn't dominate in something I wasn't capable of doing. But my strength of my game was ground balls and quick innings and all this. And in the time that I pitched, I had the best ground ball to fly ball ratio in the history of the game of baseball. So I dominated there, but I didn't dominate in their eyes. And I just said, I think you guys are wrong. In fact, I know they're wrong. The whole thing is, you know, I pitched for 26 years. It tells you something about the condition I kept myself in. I had 46 shutouts. And, you know, up until the last couple of years, my lifetime ERA was below 3. And it didn't get above 3 until I was in my mid-40s, which tells you something. You know, so I don't know. I just think, and I told some people this, and this is the way I believe. I only worry about things I'm capable of controlling. I can't control the votes into the Hall of Fame, so I don't worry about them.
But, Tommy, let me tell you something. I learned this game from Frank Robinson, and Frank Robinson often told me that it's not strikeouts or if you can throw 100 miles an hour. It's location. Right. It's location. And he would often beat that into my head. And I look at your record. You had 138 strikeouts. That's your career high for 1 year. And what stuns me, that if scouts, analytic people, saw you today, I hate to say it, you wouldn't make the big leagues today because you strike out people. That's amazing. How do you explain that? I mean, I thought location was the key.
Well, to me, there's three things you have in a pitcher. You have speed, location, and movement. And I had location and movement. I didn't have speed. I could throw the ball in the 90s, low 90s, but that wasn't me. That was not Tommy John. So what I tried to do is I tried to pitch effectively. I tried to keep the ball in the ballpark and give my offense and defense a chance to win games for us.
Now, I want to ask you this. You know, you talk about low hits and strikeouts. If that were the case, then Burt Blyleven should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And even that baffled me that he didn't make it. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know what, Tommy, I'm being honest with you. I'm convinced that a lot of these writers, most of them are young, never saw you or Burt Blyleven play. And if they saw you guys play, you guys always went 9 innings. You guys always went deep. I mean, it's unbelievable to me the reasoning why people didn't vote for you, didn't vote for Blyleven. It's just unreal to me, just unreal.
Well, you know, that's I don't know their thing with Burt. Burt had 67 shutouts, and, you know, so what he was doing was pretty daggone good. And, you know, he was a competitor, and I don't know. I'm not eligible this year, but I think the way it works now on the Veterans Committee, it's like every 3 years you're eligible, and I'm in the group that is from the 60s to the 80s or the mid-70s. I don't know how they have it now.
Right.
A convoluted mess, to tell you the truth.
I got to ask you, after you had elbow reconstruction, you never was hurt. You never was on the disabled list or was hurt again. I'm just wondering, how did you keep your arm in shape? How'd you stay healthy after that?
By throwing. I was, before the surgery, I was never a believer in a lot of throwing. I had a pitching coach named Johnny Sane, And Johnny Sane wanted us to throw a lot, throw a lot, throw every day, throw every day, throw every day. And I was of the belief that there's only so many bullets in your rifle. Mm-hmm. And when you get down to the end of those bullets, you're done, so you go home. Well, when I had the elbow surgery, for me to come back, the only way I was going to get back into shape was I had to throw, and I threw the ball every day. And all of a sudden, the more I threw, the better my arm felt. And I went, holy mackerel, this is outstanding. You know, maybe I should do this more. Maybe. So from that time on, from 1975 until I quit in 1989, whenever I was on the baseball field, I threw a little off the mound to a catcher every single day. The day before I pitched, the day after I pitched, the 2 days in between, which were my work days, I threw the ball. I threw the ball, and I found out that that kept my arm stronger than not throwing. And I think what they're doing now is they're saying, oh, they got all these surgeries, all these Tommy John surgeries. Let's don't throw. Let's keep their arms healthy. Let's only throw 90 to 100 pitches. Oh, my heavens. And I really believe they would be better off if they pitched more. Now, not pitch, but I mean throw more. Throw off the mound, throw off the mound, throw off the mound. And I was talking to some guys last night who were, they run a baseball league up in Minnesota, and they were talking about throwing long. And I said, long tossing is not, I never threw long. Mm-hmm. And they went, what? No, what? And I said, well, what do? To throw the ball long, you have to throw the ball hard. So throwing long makes you throw the ball hard. But you aren't practicing anything. So why don't you practice throwing the ball as hard as you would if you're throwing long, throw that same speed, but throw it to a catcher to the outside corner, and practice on a skill. And still, the only thing, after 2 or 3 years of doing this, you won't be able to throw the ball long. You don't have to throw the ball long. All a pitcher has to do is throw the ball 60 feet, 6 inches.
When you watch the game today, and you know the Nationals are known for this, let's say you had Tommy John surgery, you have to go on an innings limit. You saw that with Strasburg, you saw that with Jordan Zimmermann. When you hear that, tell me, how do you feel?
Well, I just think that you don't want to hurt guys like Strasburg, and you don't want to hurt those guys. I understand that. But you won't. You know, if you let those guys pitch, if you let them pitch and let them throw the ball, they're not going to get hurt. And if they take care of themselves and they lift their weights and they do all the stuff that they do anyway, they're going to be fine. Just let them be pitchers. But the thing with the Nationals that got me, I won't say upset, but kind of let me know where they were coming from, is the agent, Scott Boras, mm-hmm. had a lot to do with Strasburg not throwing. Mm-hmm. Because Scott Boras wants to make millions of dollars in agent fees off Strasburg. Well, if I'm a manager or I'm a pitching coach, I don't want Steven Strasburg's arm hurt. And it won't get hurt if he just trains the way he's supposed to train. And if he gets himself ready and he throws the ball.
Right.
It's like running a marathon. If I'm running a marathon, I don't train for that by running 100-yard sprints. I train for it by running distance. When you pitch, these guys train by running 100-yard sprints. They don't train by running distance. And the more they throw, the less effort, the less wear and tear on their arm. And, it's just, that's the way it is. But people think, oh, if he doesn't throw, he won't get hurt. That's exactly right. I tell them every time I go out and I speak on Tommy John surgery, I said, I've got a thing right here, and I hold some papers up, and I say, this is a program that will absolutely 100% guarantee that you will never have to have Tommy John surgery. And everybody goes, oh, what is it? Can we have it? I said, yeah. And I let them look, and it's just a bunch of blank pages. And I said, you don't throw. If you don't throw, you'll never get hurt. If you throw, you got a chance to get hurt.
Wow, wow. My final question to you, Tommy, what is Tommy John doing today?
Right now I'm trying to pick out some Christmas gifts from my granddaughter. I live in the desert. I live in Palm Springs, California. I'm just getting over hip revision surgery. Today or tomorrow I may go out and hit golf balls for the first time since November. Mm-hmm. And it's been on November 4th, I think it was, when I had my surgery. But it's tough. When you get 73, you don't heal quite as fast as you did when you're 23.
I know the feeling. So, Tommy John, I got to tell you, thank you so much. And I meant every word I said. You belong in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully one day you'll be there.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You take care.
Thank you.
That's going to be all for Newsmakers. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank my producer, Danny Wexelman, and my editor, Din Mann. Thank you so much.